Of Ephesians chapter 6. We've just been working our way through the book of Ephesians, starting in chapter 1, verse 1, and now we're in the last chapter, chapter 6, verse 5. And if you're using one of the black pew Bibles from the seat in front of you, it looks like this. It would be on page 979, and you can turn there with us, and we're going to read the scriptures together. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. I want to start out this morning with a survey. I want to ask you a few questions. How many of you here have ever worked a job that you hated? Go ahead, raise your hand. Raise your hand. That's quite a few of us. Raise it high, brother. Yeah, I see you back there, Gary. How many of you have had a boss that, well, let's just say it was less than perfect? Yeah, you're already raising your hand before I finish the question. Okay, less than perfect, yes. We could all raise our hands, yes. How many of you thought that if your boss were more understanding, your job would be a lot better? Okay, the same hands are going up, same people. Yeah, okay, that includes just about all of us, right? If we've ever worked a job, and those of you who haven't, get ready, because the day is coming when you will. We've all had a job like that, haven't we? We've all had a job that wasn't perfect. We hated, or maybe we just really didn't like. And a lot of times our response to it is, or our feeling towards it is like, you know, I just want to do what I want to do. Forget this job. Forget my boss. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I'm not going to listen to him or her. I'm going to quit this job or whatever it is. I just hate this place. And you know what? That's what the rest of the world does, right? I'm sure we've probably all, you know, hopefully, maybe you've done that. Maybe you walked out on a job. Maybe you had good reason for it, but maybe you didn't. We've probably seen people that weren't hard workers, and we've seen people that just hated their job, and they just always complained about it. Well, what if I told you this, that your boss is not actually your boss, that your boss is actually Jesus? What if I told you Jesus is your boss? Does that change things a little bit? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? What if I told you that your boss is not your boss, Jesus is your boss, and your boss, Jesus, tells you to work at your job, whatever it may be, with all of your heart and soul, and put everything into it that you can, and do your best? Does that change the way that you might approach your job when you go to it day in and day out, hour after hour after hour? If you're a Christian, it should change the way you think about work, because we as Christians do not work the way the rest of the world works. We as Christians work as if Jesus were our boss and inspecting everything that we do. That's the way the Word wants us to think about our jobs. And I believe that God's Word commands us that we ought to work for our heavenly master by working for our earthly masters. You guys get that? Work for your heavenly master by working for your earthly masters. And some of you are giving me a look like, man, Jason, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I could treat my boss like he was Jesus. And friends, that's what we're commanded to do in the Word, that we would work heartily as if we were working for the Lord Himself. And whatever we do, and bring glory to Him. Work for your heavenly master by working for your earthly masters. How do we do that in a broken system with a broken people? Well, the Ephesians were dealing with just that. They lived in a world that was very broken, okay? We live in a broken world still, right? But they were also in a broken world with a broken system. And we see that as just the first word that we see right here, slaves, or your version might say bond servants, people that were enslaved to somebody else. And they were in a broken world. It's estimated that maybe up to one-third of the population in Ephesus was slaves. Can you imagine that? One-third of the population, slaves, bondservants. They were enslaved to a master. Maybe they had to pay off a debt to him. And so they basically had to sell their life over to that person and commit themselves only to that person to serve him or her, you know, 24/7. And sometimes it was a good living, actually. Sometimes they could actually have a good living by being taken care of by their master. But other times, maybe they didn't. Because they were slaves, after all. They were just property. So they were owned by the master. You know, none of us here are slaves today, but just think about if we lived in that culture, one in three of us would be a slave. Just think about that, okay? Slave, not slave, not slave. Slave, not slave. Not slave, slave, not slave, not slave, not slave, not slave. You see that? Just imagine what that would be like in a church. And you knew that these people were owned. So one third of us, you know, gather to worship, and a third of you are slaves. Imagine. I mean, we can't understand that in America. I mean, in America, it's like, man, you can get to the top if you want to. Doesn't matter who you are. But can you imagine how that would have been? Who would be sitting in the front rows? You know, who would have to sit in the back? Or you can see the challenge of that, right, as a church. The Holy Spirit, through His Word here, wanted to show the saints in Ephesus how to live in a broken system with broken people, masters that weren't kind, and slaves that only had a hope of earning their freedom. Yes, and we can all say amen to that. The answer to living in a broken system with broken people is obedience according to God's Word, but not just for the sake of obedience, but for the sake of honoring our true Master, Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is our boss, if Jesus is our King, then that changes everything about the way that we work. Our standard is not just, hey, how am I going to get this job done, and how quickly can I make it to 4 o'clock so I can go home? Our standard is, I want to please my King. Oh, and guess what? My King died for me. So how do we then work if we are working for the King Jesus? Well, there's three principles that I want to offer to you from the text here this morning that hopefully can guide us in our day-to-day going to work. You know, tomorrow morning you're going to get up early and you're going to go to work and you're going to punch in. And how then are you to act? Well, here's three principles that we can take with us and that can guide us in our work. Take work seriously is the first one. Second one, don't fake it. And the third one, do it from the heart. Okay? Take work seriously. Don't fake it. Do it from the heart. The first one, take work seriously. In verse 5, he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Have you ever had an interview with fear and trembling? Yeah. You just want to make a good impression, right? You wanted to make you wanted them to know that you were going to work hard and that you were worthwhile, that you were worth their time. Maybe you're giving a presentation with fear and trembling. Anybody give a presentation with fear and trembling? Yes. You know, those of you guys in the military, you ever stand in front of a general and give that briefing? Fear and trembling. That's right. Brothers and sisters, we serve a holy master that sees everything about us. He knows the good, the bad, the ugly. He sees everything about us. He knows how you work. He knows what you put into it. We serve a holy master, and it's not wrong to approach our work for him with fear and trembling, knowing that we want to please him, knowing that he is a holy God. In Philippians chapter 2, you can turn there, you can just go a page over. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, we see the term fear and trembling again. He says in chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. See, God is the one that works through us, in us. But that doesn't mean we don't give it our effort. That doesn't mean that we're just lazy. It means we take it seriously. Take your work seriously. The second one, second principle, don't fake it. Don't fake it. You ever been served by somebody who just really didn't care? You know what I'm saying? You go to a restaurant and the person serving you, you just kind of tell they don't really care. Is that anybody? Yeah, a few of you. Now, hopefully it's not Gary. He raised his hand. When he serves you at Jan's Pizza, know that he does care. And I mean that, by the way. It's what sets him apart, actually, because he does care. You've noticed people that serve you in food or, you know, the car shop or whatever it is, and they just don't really care. They're just trying to make it to 4 o'clock so that they can punch out and go home. And they're almost in a different world. And you know the difference. And we don't know what's going on in their hearts. Okay, so understand. Give them grace, by the way. But it sets them apart from the other person that is totally locked in. And when they serve you there, you know, how can I help you today? And with a smile on their face, and that's everything that you would want. You know, we went to Cold Stone Creamery the other night with the boys because they had been reading this summer and got some free ice cream, you know, for their reading. So they've done a good job, you know, their summer reading program. And they got free ice cream. So we went to Cold Stone. And there's this one girl behind the counter that was just, she was locked in on you. You know, she was there. And I don't think she was faking it. I think she was being genuine. I think she was being genuine. And she really, really cared about your order. Really cared about how to serve you. You tell the difference. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we should never be fakers. Never be fakers. We don't do it by eye service. You know, what does he mean there? Not in verse 6, not by the way of eye service. What does that mean? Well, I think what he means by that is somebody who does eye service is they're only doing the right thing when somebody's watching. They only do the right thing when somebody's watching. The rest of the time, they just don't care. That shouldn't be us. We should be doing the right thing all the time. We're not people pleasers. What does that mean? We're not brown nosers. We're not schmoozers. We're not kissing up to the boss, you know, to try to make ourselves look good and better than everybody else. We're just honest people doing honest work, right? That's what Christians do, right? We're honest people doing honest work. We are servants of Christ, and this man died for us. Will you ever give him cheap service? And brothers and sisters, let me just confess, yes, I've given the Lord cheap service, and I know we've all been there. But friends, as we're looking at this passage, can we go on and really seriously say, I'm gonna give cheap service to my boss because I just don't like him. Friends, look at what the Word says. Can you give cheap service when you know the Lord is watching you and He wants you to do a good job? That's not the way that we do our work. We're not fakers. The third principle, do it from the heart. I think this is the foundational principle of this whole passage here. Do it from the heart. We see in verse 5, he says, slaves, obey your masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart. With a sincere heart. That word that's translated sincere there is also found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What's significance about that chapter? Do you guys remember what's going on in that chapter? It's okay if you don't. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about the cheerful giver, right? The cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, right? And Paul is addressing the Corinthian church, and he's trying to tell them that, you know what? Give what you can. Don't feel like you've got to do this under pressure. Give what you can. God wants you to be cheerful in your giving. Guess what? You can be happy to give. The words that we see in this same passage for generous giving are the same word that we see here, sincerity, sincere heart. And I haven't checked the other versions, what it says there. Maybe it says genuine heart. I don't know what the other versions say, but I know here in the English Standard Version, it says a sincere heart. And if we could translate it in a way of generous, liberal giving. Heart that just wants to give. That's what we're looking at. Verse 6 and 7, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart. Guys, is this a picture of somebody that doesn't care? Or is this a picture of somebody that's all in? God has given us a picture of somebody that's all in, somebody that's serious about it. They're not faking it, and they're putting their heart and soul into their work, even if they were a slave. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you work, where you work, if you work for the Lord, you work in the king's court. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, are you giving your job everything you got? Are you giving it all? Are you tired at the end of the day? Good. Good. Yeah, it may not always be fun. But we work in a broken system with broken people. And that'll be the case everywhere. You know, there's been a lot of attention given to the police departments recently. And most of you know I work as a chaplain for the police department as a volunteer. When Trump came to town, did you guys watch that? Donald Trump came to town. I won't say anything about Trump, but you kind of know that things are a little tense right now, aren't they? Man, I was praying for our police officers. I was praying for them. And I was a little scared. They were too. They told me after the fact, they were like, yeah, we were a little, you know, on edge about this one. But all this negative attention that's been given to police officers, and I think we have some of the best guys in the world working on our police department. I love these guys, and they work hard, and I believe they would give a bullet, they would take a bullet for us, any one of us. That's essentially what they took an oath to do. And we have the greatest officers I think you could ever want. But even still, they work in a broken system with broken people. And things can happen. And I'm not saying that the things that happen in Minnesota and Louisiana, I've watched the videos and they're hard to watch. And I won't even make a judgment as to whether it was right or wrong, but I will say that they have a tough job and they work in a broken system with broken people, and sometimes mistakes are made and sometimes bad things will happen. Brothers and sisters, will you give it all because Christ is your master? Just think about this, okay? Think about this. Paul is writing to a mixed group of people. Slave, not slave, not slave, 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 non-slave, slave. Some of them would have been masters, some were slaves. And from the very beginning of this letter, they read, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints. Not the slaves. And you read a little bit farther down and it says, we are adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. Sons of who? Sons of God. You think as a slave that might have meant quite a bit. Read, I'm a saint and I'm a son or daughter of God. We're not nobodies. God loves us. What do you think about that slave sitting there hearing this letter read there on a Sunday morning worship, and they're in the congregation? And a slave hearing these words read, what do you think he or she was thinking? And then the letter comes around and it addresses them in a very positive way. Hey, slaves, you know what? You've got this newfound freedom in Christ. You've got this new identity. But don't just try to ruin your boss because of it. Don't be lazy. Still do a good job. Still do a good job. When you hear that God loves you so much that he would send his son, Jesus, to die for you, that's the kind of king that you serve. Don't you think your heart would be throbbing for him? Wouldn't you want to put on the apron? Wouldn't you want to put on the white gloves and walk into his room, into his palace? And wouldn't you want to serve him? Isn't that the one you'd rather serve? Guess what? You can, and you are. Brothers and sisters, how awesome a thing it is to know that even though we may put on scrubs for a living, or we may put on work boots for a living, that before the king in his palace, we put on the prince's clothing, and we put on princess's clothing. We put on the clothing of royalty. And we can go to work. We can go day in and day out, even if they're crappy days, and we can work, and we can work hard, and we can know that we are honoring and we are pleasing our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter if you are a business owner, a Wendy's cashier, a home care nurse, a dog sitter, a CEO, an entrepreneur, a work, you work with wires, you work with pizza, you work with people. It doesn't matter even if you are a slave, because your work does matter and it brings glory to God. Don't ever think that you are less than a prince or a princess in His presence. And masters, or bosses, if you will, if you're a manager or if you own a company or whatever it may be, let me just say this to you. Verse 9 has some strong words for you. It says, "Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening." Stop it! Stop threatening! I know a lot of you who work in management, you know, you run companies. I don't imagine you threatening. But in that moment, maybe sometimes you feel that way. Stop your threatening. Why? Because knowing that He who is both their master and yours, guess what? He's in heaven and He's on a throne, and there's no partiality with Him. In God's economy, in God's militia, there is no rank. In His people, there is no rank. All equal. We are all one. And that's a wonderful thing. I want to leave you with this thought in your mind. Jesus Himself, it says in the book of Philippians, made Himself nothing. Even though He was a prince, even though He's a king, He's the Son of God, all the power is in His hand. He was the one who created the world that we live in. Made Himself nothing. He took the form of a servant. You know, that word there for servant is the same one that we see in Ephesians, a slave. Brothers and sisters, if we don't look to Christ and see that He first served us by becoming a man, a baby, we just saw a baby, He became one of those little guys, and He ran around and He lived a life just like we did. He breathed the air that we breathe. He got sick like we get sick. He had to obey His mom and dad. It says that in the Bible. He had to follow their instruction. He lived just like us. And I'm sure as He's learning in the shop with His dad, working with wood, I'm sure there's times He got splinters and He got cuts and He bled just like we bleed. And He lived the life we couldn't. And He went to the cross and He died the death we deserve to die for our sins. And on the third day, He rose again. He's a servant. He's a servant. When we think about how we are to serve, that is who we should be. And brothers and sisters, if you've not let this servant serve you, if you've not let Him come to you and say, "I will take all your sin upon my shoulders and I will set you free for eternity," if you've not let Him do that, today is the day. Today is the day. There is no other religious world system that we could ever think about that is so great. There's no other religion in the world that talks about the God Himself dying in your place and paying for your sins. None of them. Today ought to be the day that you surrender everything and say, "Jesus, I am your servant because you are mine. Will you forgive me? Will you give me your salvation? Will you be my king? I want to serve you all my life." He is our King who came to serve. Brothers and sisters, let's make sure that when we go to work tomorrow, that we work for our heavenly master by working for our earthly ones. Let's pray. Jesus, we are humbled in your presence. And you are a just king. So just that you would even be just to have us come and fall on our knees before you and have our heads chopped off right in front of you. That is how dire our situation is. We have betrayed you, even by just one little sin. But instead, you reach out your hand and you offer your forgiveness and you say, come, sit with me. Sit with me. Be my child. I will adopt you. There is no greater message, there is no greater person, there is nothing better than that. So Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here, fellow saints, fellow sons and daughters of God. And I know, Lord, that they work hard, and I know that some of them just can't stand their job. And I know some of them work so hard, and some of them just want relief. They want rest, Lord. And I pray that they would find it in you. I pray that after a hard day's work, they would find rest in your word, rest in prayer, rest in your songs, rest in your people. And in it all, they would find rest at your feet. As a child sits at his dad's feet and listens to his stories. Lord Jesus, give us the strength to continue to work hard for our heavenly master. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood.